Good morning and welcome to On the Air with Healthcare, a program brought to you by Wythe County Community Hospital. I'm Betty Elmore and I'm your host for today's program, and hope that everybody is staying warm and staying inside with the impending weather I think we're supposed to have. Either way, it is flu season, and I have with me today Rebecca McDonald. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Betty.
And I call you Becky, even though you are Rebecca. So, Becky, first tell us a little bit about you and what your role is at Wythe County Community Hospital before we start talking about the impending flu.
Okay, I'm the Director of Infection Prevention and Employee Health. So that means I have a wide range of responsibilities related to just that, keeping our infections down. If we have somebody here with an infection, avoiding sharing of that infection, things like hand hygiene products, like making sure we're doing all the right things as far as preventing surgical site infections, etc.
And are we seeing a lot of sick folks in our hospital? I'm down on the first floor. I don't typically get up to the floor, and if I do, I really don't want to be there very long because I think we have a lot of sick folks in our house.
We do, and a lot of issues that are infectious. We've had quite a few patients recently who were in isolation for a variety of different reasons, whether that's the flu or an infectious diarrhea, those kinds of different things.
And of course, we don't want you to have to come, but if you do, this is a good place to be to get
well. Absolutely.
So, I know you wear many hats, Becky, and you are an infection preventionist and doing just that, preventing those infections. But something that we tend to have to prepare for, not necessarily look forward to, but prepare for every year around October is flu season.
Yes, ma'am.
And you are our go-to girl when it comes to flu season. You are always keeping us in the know about what the flu trends are here at the hospital and on also in our community and surrounding communities. You also remind us how to sneeze and how to cough.
Yes, imagine that.
I know.
Because so many of us weren't taught right when we were kids.
That's right.
Because we were taught to cough into our hands.
Yes.
And of course, that's a really bad idea if you cough into your hand and then go shaking hands or touching doorknobs or telephones, etc.
Yes, and you have retrained all of us, or most of us anyway.
I've tried.
So, Becky, if we're talking to flu, obviously we're seeing some of that in our communities and here at the hospital. Talk a little bit about what are the flu symptoms? What should people be looking for?
Generally, the flu hits us pretty hard and fast, and where a cold may come on slower, the flu is usually just quicker. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like, man, I feel like I got hit by a truck. And that is probably the most common thing that I hear people say with the flu, is that feeling that you just got hit by a truck or a train, that your body aches, you just feel lousy. You don't always have to have a fever, but it is very common to have a fever with it. Cough, sore throat, runny nose, the muscle body aches, headaches, just extreme tiredness, fatigue. Some people have the GI symptoms. That's not as common, but some people do have the nausea, vomiting, diarrhea with it as well.
So what would be the different symptoms of a flu versus a cold?
The cold is generally going to come on slower and just not be as severe. You're not going to have the high fever with it.
You're not going to feel like you got hit by a truck.
Not exactly.
So,
maybe a small car.
Yeah, maybe. So what should folks do if they start to get sick and they feel like they have been hit by a truck and they just cannot get past it?
Probably the most important thing I want to stress is not to go to work or school or other gatherings. The flu can be very serious, and we don't need to be sharing it. So if you do have the flu, please avoid giving it to other people. That would mean washing your hands. That means covering your cough. That means keeping your distance. It's amazing what just keeping a good 6-foot distance from other people will do. As far as if you don't have a mask, as far as, you know, if you need to go to the doctor's office and you think there's somebody else in the waiting area who looks or sounds like they've got the flu, keeping a distance, trying to sit someplace 10 feet away from them is a major help. Everybody doesn't have to go to the doctor. But if you're in one of the high-risk groups, say you are over 65, you've got other conditions, asthma, COPD, a pregnant woman, Those people do need to get in touch with their doctor if they feel like they've got the flu.
And what about coming to the emergency room? Should they just come to the emergency room or avoid that?
Yeah, it depends on the situation, but if you don't need the emergency room is for emergencies. So obviously, if you are sick, where you're having trouble breathing, again, especially, you've got that asthma patient who now has the flu on top of it, and you're having trouble breathing, then you need to come to the ER. If you're generally a healthy person and you do feel lousy, but it's something that you can take care of at home, you've got help, and everybody doesn't need to come to the ER.
So let's talk about children first, and kind of what should moms and dads be looking for signs in flu for a child? Because, children can one day be like runny nose, just like feel kind of bad, and then the next day they rally and then they're back again. So what should we look for?
It's always concerning if they're sick and then they get better and then, like you said, the next day all of a sudden they're sicker. That's certainly something you want to talk to the doctor about. Anybody who's having trouble breathing, if a child, an adult, whoever is having trouble breathing, obviously that's a time that you need to get to the ER. If they have a rash with it, if they're not able to drink, if now this infant who was having a gazillion wet diapers a day hasn't had one in like the last 12 hours, that's concerning because they're getting dehydrated. So that's also something that you would want to get to the doctor.
And it doesn't take long for children to become hydrated. They're little fellows.
Exactly. And in some instances, depending on your relationship with your pediatrician, it may be an instance where you can just call the office and get their advice instead of taking them out and taking them to the pediatrician's office where you come in contact with more people.
Okay, run through some of the other things that they might look for in children.
Yeah, obviously if their skin is not the normal color, if they're looking bluish, if they're not waking up or interacting with those around them like they normally would, if they're so irritable that holding them, that they don't want held, nothing seems to satisfy them. And again, if the flu-like symptoms get better, but then it comes back with a worse cough or a fever, if they've got a rash, no tears when crying is another thing that would be a sign of dehydration. So normally they've got those big old crocodile tears when they cry, and now they're obviously trying to cry, but there's no tears.
Oh, yeah. And, these are things that, of course, my children are grown, but have grandchildren, and that sometimes you tend to forget. And I know a lot of older folks keep their grandchildren while parents work. So, yes, we're all in that same boat, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily when they work, but I certainly have them. And it's been a while, so these are great things for us to just recall and remember what to look for in children.
Yes.
So what about adults, Becky? I guess it's we don't cry, obviously.
Well, sometimes, right? But you're right. Of course, the difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, is still a concern. Chest pain, dizziness or confusion. If you've got that family member, and especially maybe that older adult you're checking up on mom, whatever, if they are confused, if their mental status has changed, it's definitely time to get them into the doctor.
So, getting into the doctor, let's talk now a little bit about medications and treatments of the flu if you've been diagnosed with it.
Yes, there are antivirals, and actually the numbers that I was just looking at from the CDC show that the viruses that are circulating are the antivirals that we use, like Tamiflu, are very good for those. Now, you want to get an antiviral within a couple days of symptoms. So if you're somebody, again, in those high-risk categories especially, then you need to get in touch with your doctor or the ER, depending on the situation, and see about getting some Tamiflu or one of the antivirals.
And Tamiflu is pretty much the national standard of medications,
yes,
or are there
right.
others?
There are some others, some other antivirals with big, long names, But the Tamiflu is the one that most people recognize the name of.
And do they ever prescribe that, Becky, if you don't test positive, but yet you've got so many of the symptoms?
Yes. There are certainly other times when it is prescribed, and not just if you look like you've got the flu, because a lot of doctors will treat you as if you have the flu, even if the test was negative, because the tests aren't perfect. And sometimes that can be for many reasons, including that maybe a good sample wasn't collected. Because to collect a good sample, honestly, the person putting that swab up your nose should make tears come to your eyes. That swab has to go deep. It's a nasopharyngeal swab, and it has to get up in there good to get an appropriate sample. But tests can be negative, and you still look like you have the flu.
So that is the test, is the
pharyngeal? It's a nasopharyngeal swab.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not sure I knew that.
Yes. And then also, not just you, but let's say, you know, you take care of a relative who has cancer, and you've been around that person, and now you've got the flu. Or, you know, someone who has a lot of other conditions, you know, somebody who's got severe COPD, et cetera, then it's quite possible that their doctor will prescribe Tamiflu for them to take so they don't get the flu.
Okay.
Which is also very effective that way.
Okay. All right. So it's good to explain when you go to the doctor all of the people that you care for or that you might come in contact with.
Yes.
Because they don't know.
Right.
So if you're sick, you're diagnosed with flu, or you're just sick and you're not even sure, how long to stay home? What's the kind of run-of-the-mill course of that?
Yes. The easy answer is 24 hours without a fever, and that's without taking anything for it. Now, generally, that's going to take a few days. I mean, if you've got Tamiflu, you're going to be on Tamiflu for 5 days probably. And, I mean, I know last time I had the flu, I was out of work for a week. So it's not unusual for you to be out for a week. But you need to be not taking anything, any Tylenol, Motrin, aspirin, etc., to lower your fever, and be without the fever for 24 hours before you return to work or school.
Okay, so do not camouflage what's going on, in other words.
Exactly. Yes, oh no, my temperature hasn't been over 98.6 for 2 days, but I'm full of Tylenol. That doesn't count.
So what about taking aspirin?
In children especially, and that's been an issue that they discovered years ago, there can be very serious complications called Reye's syndrome if you give aspirin.
And we've heard of that a long, long time
yes.
ago. I just wondered if that's still something.
Yes, you still want to be careful about giving aspirin to children.
Okay. So what should you do when you're homesick trying to recuperate? What are some of the things that can help just alleviate the what you're feeling and to get back to normal?
Yeah, all those things your mama told you when you were sick, you know, about getting appropriate rest,
right.
and drinking good fluids, and trying to stay away from others, and not infecting them as well. Things like that distance we talked about earlier, just, you know, flu is transmitted by droplet, so although it certainly can be transmitted by your hands, the biggest thing is the droplets. So when you cough or sneeze and those droplets get in the air, they'll stay floating for 3 to 6 feet, okay, before they drop to the ground. Well, if somebody else is close enough that they're breathing in those droplets, that is the biggest way the flu is transmitted. So, you know, I have a friend right now who has a mom who's going through chemotherapy, and she's concerned about her mom, and she was getting sick. And I'm like, keep your distance as much as possible. Keep your distance. When you need to be up close to her, helping her, put your mask on. Wash your hands. Wash high-touch areas. Those things that everybody is touching, the faucet handles, the doorknobs, the remote controls, those things, have disinfectant wipes that you keep around, and just wipe those things off frequently throughout the day.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the reasons that, obviously, one of the things that we do to keep things tidied here and free of infection is our housekeeping folks are trained very, very well.
They do an awesome
on how
job.
To turn over a room.
Yes.
And knowing that one sick patient following another sick patient. So they do a really fantastic job.
They do an awesome job.
Just to take a quick moment, just to let you know, we are talking with Becky McDonald, infection preventionist at Wythe County Community Hospital, and we are talking today about flu, the onset of flu, and things that we can do to prevent. So, Becky, not just in Wythe County and our surrounding counties, how is it affecting the rest of the world? Are we seeing a lot just here, or is it everywhere?
It is everywhere. Actually, on the CDC site, it has that 48 states out of the 50 have widespread flu activity right now. As of February 9th. Of course, they stay a few days behind gathering the data. And to understand, February is often the peak of flu season, and hopefully it will be this year. Hopefully what we've seen in the last 2 or 3 weeks, which the last 3 weeks have been pretty consistent, consistently high. And hopefully February is the peak and we're going to be seeing it heading out. But flu often lasts into April and May, and it has the last couple years.
Yeah.
And so if you have not gotten a flu shot yet, it's still a good idea to get one to prevent that March, April, and May flu. We certainly don't want to start our spring off that way.
This is true, and we do hope to see it going out and not escalating over the next couple of months.
Correct.
That's for sure.
Correct.
And what are the ages that are we seeing this year, especially in our community? How does that kind of factor?
We have seen a lot of pediatric flus. Actually,
is that typical for
flu? No, we've seen more pediatrics this year than normal. But the hospitalizations we are seeing are elderly. So we're seeing more, most of our hospitalizations have been 65 and over.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing a good, more than 50%, the majority of the last few weeks, have been pediatric patients.
So how is Virginia ranking overall with the other states? Can you tell who's the highest?
I don't know that, although the numbers I was looking at earlier looked pretty consistent with what we're seeing, that there have been a lot of pediatrics. I saw also there have been 34 pediatric deaths in the country so far this year.
So this is nothing to take lightly.
Absolutely not. It is serious.
So if one is hospitalized for the flu, what's the typical length of time that they're here, Becky?
That can also depend on a lot of things. I mean, we've had some that were just here for a day or two, and then we had some that were here for several days. Again, that usually depends. You're thinking if you've got an elderly patient with a lot of those other conditions, mm-hmm. you know, they've got issues with their heart, they've got issues with their lungs already, and then you put this flu on top of that, it's very hard for them to bounce back.
Yes, absolutely, I can imagine. And the vaccine, does it typically, I know you kind of track that too with people, especially folks who work here who had the flu shot, those who didn't still got the flu. How's the vaccine kind of measuring up overall?
It does look so far like we're doing pretty well. Right now we've had one employee who tested positive for the flu. But we had 94%, which is an awesome number, of our hospital employees who were vaccinated. The flu that are being tested are almost all A for us and nationally. There's influenza A, H1N1 and H3N2 are the ones that CDC is seeing. Of course, we can't give you that kind of a detailed answer. For our test, we know if it's influenza A or influenza B.
Is the treatment different for the different types of flu?
It's not, but it does help to know as far as how the vaccines are matching up.
Okay.
And again, to plan for
next year.
Exactly.
I guess.
And it's hard to get numbers quickly on that. Obviously, you have to wait until flu season's over to get the full picture. But it does look like the vaccine is being effective against the flu strains that they're seeing.
Thank you, Becky. And also, let's go over one more time for our folks the precautions. What can we do not to get the flu?
Get vaccinated is the first thing. And again, it's not too late to get vaccinated if you haven't. It would have been better if you'd already gotten it, but please do get vaccinated if you haven't. Stay away from people who are sick. I know at our church we don't do a handshaker anymore, you know, because it's just too easy to spread germs that way.
It is.
We wave at each other.
And that's okay, too.
That's right. So staying away from people who are sick, covering your cough, either coughing into your sleeve, coughing into a tissue, then throwing that tissue away, washing your hands, especially if you're sharing an area with someone who is sick, whether that's at home or at work, cleaning those high-touch areas, just making sure that you've got a good disinfectant wipe that you can wipe things down with. Most of the disinfectants will tell you the sprays or wipes will list flu on there as something that they'll kill. So, if you want to be sure, just look for that.
What about sprays like a Lysol spray? Does that work?
Yes, it's good, but I would read it. Mm-hmm. To me, I like the wipes because of their coverage, because, you know, you're not concerned about spraying them down into, you know, a phone or a keyboard. You know, we've got so many electronics around, that I would want to be careful about that. That's why the wipes, to me, are so handy.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Well, Becky, we're almost out of time, and I really appreciate you coming on today and talking about the flu. Not a favorite topic by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely one during this time of year that folks need to be aware of.
Yes, they do. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is Betty Elmore on the air with Healthcare, a program brought to you by Wythe County Community Hospital. And if you have a topic that you would like to hear, just let the radio station know or give us a call at the hospital, and we'll make sure that we can get someone on the air to talk about that topic. Thank you, and we'll tune in next week.
I saw it hit 20.